Praise the Lord again. We have come to our last little service on this Friday morning. And we have been speaking on the gifts of the Spirit. What I said earlier this week is really a help to understand that the gifts of the Spirit are really God's. Like God is a spirit, and when he shares of his spirit to his creation, the spirit that is shared is still God's. He owns the spirit. He give it, and he can take it back. And when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, I don't need to repeat myself too much or what I've said earlier. But when he gives us the gifts and put them in us, those gifts are still his gifts. It's God's gifts. Like when it comes to callings, gifts and callings and workings, remember, the callings and the gifts and the workings, they are not yours. It is God who administer his gift to you so that he can pick out from your spirit the necessary works that need to be done in the time that you're living. We don't live in the days of Moses or Jesus Christ or the apostles. We are living now in this modern world, but the principles are the very same as you have always seen written in the Bible. So when we speak about the gifts, I haven't even mentioned all the gifts, but let me read it for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to read from verse 7. Excuse me. And it reads like this. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. Of course, that tells us that the spirits and the callings and the workings, the ministrations, they are there to profit others. It is not to profit ourselves. So it's not a selfish way of behavior or work. It is not to promote yourself, but it is to show that God operates freely in and through you. Then in verse 8, for to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom. We mentioned that yesterday about Solomon and the two women. I don't want to repeat that, but you know it. And to another, the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. When we look at knowledge, you can think about Jesus meeting Nathanael. Philip came to Nathanael and said, come and see, we have found the Messiah. We found the Savior. And Nathanael said, can there come anything good out of Nazareth? And then when Jesus met him, he looked straightways to Nathanael and he said, my, that is a guy with no guile, a pure Israeli. And Nathanael said, how do you know me? I've never seen you before. This is the first time we meet. And Jesus said to him, I saw you under the fig tree. And when Nathanael heard Jesus say that, my, he collapsed in his spirit and he said, Master, you are the Messiah. Because no one could have known that. So knowledge is a spiritual operation where God gives knowledge into a person and he can tell the person to release him from whatever problem he have. And you can also remember Brother Branham's life. He had the gifts operating in his life for years and years. And when he did that, the people, they got their answers from God. Brother Branham is not God. He was never God. But the operation of the gifts were God. And Brother Branham was just the instrument that would tell the people what God showed him to tell them. And that's the real operation of the gifts of the Spirit. When we look at verse 9, it says, to another, faith in the same Spirit. So faith is actually God revealing himself, so that you have a purpose. And when God has, well, think about Noah. He didn't sit there on the plains back in those days thinking about what to do and said to himself, I think I'm going to build a boat. That would be insane, because it was not an ocean where the boat was built. And people were making fun of Noah because of what he started doing. But we know in simplicity that God spoke verbally to Noah or in a vision. And then he said, I want you to build a boat. All right, that was the message. And then Noah did what God said. And that was faith. Noah was faithful in the workings that the Lord told him to do. So faith comes by hearing. And of course, faith is actually an invisible thing, because it happens in the spirit world. And when you see things in the spirit and you do it, then you have faith. I know that the word faith can be used in a lot of different things also in the natural, but let us distinguish the difference. The biblical faith is to do exactly what God tells you to do. All right. Then it says here, to another, workings of miracles. And miracles, well, everything out of the natural, where you say, this is as far as we can go naturally. And then when you go beyond the natural, then you're either crazy, or you have had a revelation from God Almighty to do things that are out of the natural order. Well, think about Moses. He lifted his staff out over the ocean, and it split the Red Sea so that Israel could go in. And through the Red Sea, dry should, my Lord. If that isn't a miracle, I don't know. And then it says, to another, prophecy. All right. How can a man prophesy at all out of his own self? I can listen to news sometimes, and the news will discuss different problems. And when they discuss the problems, we find out that they call in expertise, people who have more knowledge about certain things. They put them on the panel, and then they say to them, what do you think about this? Can you give us an advice? And then they start telling what they think is the right thing to do. They try to examine things. But remember, prophecy is not trying to examine the day that you're living in and try to sort out what is going to happen. Prophecy is a spiritual gift given by God. Remember, we have a Bible, approximately 1,500 pages, and all the Bible is telling is what God spoke to the former believers, the people in days gone by. They had experiences, they saw dreams, they had visions, or God spoke to them mouth to mouth, like he did to Moses, and told them what was happening. He told them the history way back in time, and he told them the future, what is going to happen. All right, so prophecy is then leveled as a very important gift of the Spirit. And even Paul said in his days, I wish that you would all speak in tongues, but rather that you prophesy. All right, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But when Paul was saying those things, he didn't say, just forget about tongues now and start to prophesy. What were you going to say? What would the prophecy be? Right? You cannot prophesy out of your own self. Hey, you can read the whole Bible, and you should. You should memorize the Bible the very best way you know to. But remember, don't take the Bible and start prophesying out of the scriptures that are already said, as if you are saying, this is what God's going to do. And then you are using your own imagination to build up a picture of the fulfillment of prophecies that hasn't been done before. Hey, don't take that upon yourself, because God don't want you to. He wants you to read, and he wants you to see what he inspired the other people to do and to say back in foreign days. But when it comes to prophecy, when God comes today, he will open up the understanding of the day that you're living in, and he takes control over you. And when you prophesy, then you are speaking what the Spirit says for your own day. So don't try to prophesy, but leave it to God to inspire you so he can use you. Remember, all the gifts are not yours. God installed them in you so that he can pick it out and do it and work it out his way. All right? For example, when you come to the callings, when God calls a person, you will find out that in those days when he manifested himself through the callings, you can read Isaiah chapter 1, you can and chapter 6, excuse me, and you can read Jeremiah chapter 1. Here are two guys, prophets of old, that came into a trance, into a vision, and they saw heaven, they saw the throne. And then God spoke and he said, I have called you. He said to Jeremiah, I called you before you were born to be a prophet before me. That, of course, it sounds strange for a natural man, but for a spiritual being, it is just so simple. God had already planned someone to be prophets. He had called someone in the modern days here that we call the ministration of the gospel, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Though those are gifts from God for a person to be able to express the spiritual will of God. And I will tell you, when we talk about these things, the spiritual will of God, then there comes a calling upon a person to express the Bible in a certain way so that people can learn from it. And of course, when a teacher have been teaching and he taught the congregation, then the people wouldn't say, oh, what a great teacher. Oh my, he is a teacher, or he is a prophet, or whatever. Remember, God is not really elaborating, highlighting on the vessel, but he is highlighting on the message that is brought through the vessel. So therefore, when you are taught properly, then you are thinking about the teaching and not the teacher itself. All right? Yeah. So here, when it says there to another in verse 10, to another prophecy, that tells God will come in and he'll wake up that prophetic spirit that he is, that he have put in you, and he'll wake it up and he'll make you say things that will never contradict the scriptures, the Bible, because the Bible is a book of teachings to help us understand how God is operating. And you might say, well, but if a man is called, there is a calling, and he has a calling upon his life, what will happen? You mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and up, and you said, if we are not operating the scriptures or the spirit in a divine order, then the reward will go. Do you have any examples scripturally? Yes, there are lots of examples in the Bible. Take, for example, Samson. He was a young man, got filled with God's spirit. And when I say that, when a person is filled with the spirit, that doesn't mean that Acts chapter 2, verse 4 is happening over and over and over again. Remember, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is a New Testament order, so that you will have a change of life. It's what we call the new birth. But back in the Bible days, they were filled with the Spirit also. But that was mere talking about an anointing. You're anointed and you're set aside to serve the Lord. And Samson was. But then after a while, Samson started getting entangled with Delilah. And she started looking for the secret that Samson had. And I can tell you, he played with her for a certain length of time. But then, after a while, he caved in to the woman's betrayal. And he told the secret. Of course, the secret was laying in that he was not going to cut his hair, because there was a promise upon him. And as long as he didn't touch the hair, then the strength would come on him whenever it was needed. Praise the Lord. But then when he told the truth, she shaved him off the hair that he had, and he lost his power. Now he was a prisoner. The anointing didn't come upon him anymore, and he had to work for the enemy for the rest of his life. But then there was a thought that came up in him, because his hair started growing back up again. The Bible doesn't really tell how long Samson was a prisoner, but for hair to grow out again, it will take some time, as we normally know. And when he looked upon the condition, he had now failed the Lord. He had told the secret that he shouldn't have told. And he looked up to the Lord and he said, Lord, will you just help me this one time that I can revenge and make good again the calling you had upon my life? Give it back, Lord. Let that anointing come upon me again. And then the Lord, he came down and he filled in with that anointing. And Samson, he was able to pull the pillars of the place that they were feasting. They were mocking the anointing that had been upon Samson. But now we read in the scriptures that the roof from the pillars fell upon all the people, and more than 3,000 people died That means Samson, he had done more work through his death than he did when he was alive and working. So here, the anointing left him because of disobedience, but because of his honest repentance, the power came back on him again, and he could complete the mission that he was called for. Then you have another man, and that was King Saul in the Bible. And King Saul was a person who also was anointed, and God anointed him as king of Israel. But because of jealousy, first of all, he did not stay with the word of God. He did not stay with the promises that was given him. Samuel gave him ordinances to fulfill, and Saul was supposed to complete the mission, but he didn't do it. He was slack. And then Samuel came and arrested him in the spirit, of course, and said, because you did this, you shall no longer be king over Israel. Remember, Saul was still king over Israel all the days of his life till he died. But after disobedience, he started acting more and more selfishly. And when God anointed David to take the throne later on, Saul distinguished a jealous spirit against David. And that jealous spirit caused Saul to lose all the anointing, all the power that he had. Of course, he still had physical power as a king, but he did not have the spiritual power anymore. And the final battle in Saul's life was when the enemy came in and they killed him right there. And he never got that anointing back. So it's really a warning to us. The spirit is God's. The spiritual gifts are God's. The anointing of the vessel are God's. So even if you call yourself apostle, prophet, or whatever you would call yourself, don't think that you are things because of your own knowledge and your own high-minded ways of looking at things. No, brothers and sisters, all the callings and the gifts and the administrations are God's, and he picks it out. Remember in Brother William Branham's life, as a little kid, he had visions, and he was told not to look at those things because those things were of the devil. So the natural man is always afraid of the spiritual ways and the spiritual inspiration. And Brother Branham was a grown-up man, late 20s, when he discovered that what he was afraid of, that is what God wanted to use in his life. And I believe when I look at all the meetings, the sermons, the books, and the reports, the testimonies of that man's life, Brother William Branham, he was the best tool. Listen to what I say. He was the best tool on earth to present a divine order of event in modern time and modern history. Of all the great men of God that you have heard about, and I don't put down any of them. Remember, one day we're all going to stand there before the Lord, and he will pluck off us all everything that was not inspired by God to do. And he will reward everything that was inspired of God to do. My Lord. So we should keep that in mind every day of our life so that we don't start a selfish trail and become something like a masterpiece because we think that we got something. I got the Spirit of God in me. Remember, the Spirit is still God's. it is not yours. The Spirit is a gift to you from God, and God will take it back again when time comes. So, brothers and sisters, when I look at the gifts of the Spirit, I know that some people say we don't need the gifts anymore because the perfect has come. And some people, I will say, Brother Branham was one of the men in modern time that expressed the will of God in the most perfect way. But Brother Branham was never God. He was just God's mouthpiece. Like all the rest of the sinners that have come to the Lord through the ages from Adam and up till now, he was a sinner saved by grace and let himself be used by God Almighty. It was a humble soul who expressed the will of God in a marvelous way. And when the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit is understood in the right way, and that's why I'm telling, using this week to express what I feel is needed for the body of Christ in these days. It is that when the gifts of the Spirit pops up, and I will put it like this, all the gifts of the Spirit are inside you. They are there with you. But it is not for you to pick out the gifts of the Spirit. Like, today I think I'm going to use prophecy. Today I'm going to use discernment. I'm going to use knowledge. I'm going to use wisdom. Okay? No, you put it the other way and you say, Lord, help me to be open so to you, so that you can pick out any gift you want in me, any calling, any works or administration that you see fit for the body of Christ. Help me, Lord, to be a tool in your hand, and then have the expectation that God will use you. But not for you to start using it, but for God to start using you. That is the secret of the gifts of the Spirit. So if you really want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day, according to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 and up, then be sober, be humble, and be ready to be used, so that you can hear at the end of time, well done, my faithful and true servant. You were true in little, I will set you over much. I think that will end what we are saying. There are loads. We could use days and days on going into this little theme of the gifts of the Spirit. But this is a starting point so that you can work it out and be that little tool that God one day will look down on earth and he will speak to the devil and he will say, have you seen my servant? And then you can put your name there, right? And the devil says, yeah, I have seen him. But you are protecting him. I can't touch him. I cannot do what I want with him. Maybe the Lord will say, well, I'll let you have a certain portion, but you cannot take his life. And then you might have some obstacles in life because you are serving the Lord the best way you know to. But don't be worried, because God is always with you. The book of Job is 42 chapters, and 38 of them is telling a sad story, but the rest of it ended up that Job got back all that he lost, and he had a prosperous, wonderful life at the end of it. May God also prosper you in your ways in the days to come, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.